Amen. Thank the Lord for song service and thank God for our young people. Always a blessing to look up and see that choir loft full of young people singing for the glory of God. And I believe that's the best way for us to bring up our children, to bring them up, teaching them how to worship and teaching them how to sing praise unto the Father. If you would, I'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation in chapter 4. Once again, Revelation in chapter 4. Tonight we are looking at our 17th lesson in the study of the book of Revelation. Again, you see, a lot of times people make a mistake and say revelations when it is only one revelation. That's what God wanted us to have, and that's what He revealed unto us. And there's quite a bit left in God's Word that He has revealed unto us that we have not yet studied. But yet it is one revelation. And what we see tonight is just another one of those glimpses into the very portal of heaven at our rapture as we stand around the throne of God. We stand and we give homage unto the great I Am, the Redeemer of our souls. And there's a few things that, as I sat and I studied this again the other day, that really stuck out in my vision. Something that I think's important for us to get a hold of. I mean, we are going to see wonders beyond our imagination, folks. We're going to see amazing wonders. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, I will look at verse 2 again, down through verse 4. And here the Bible says, and again, this is after the immediate transfer of our bodies and souls from this life to that life. This is just right after the rapture scene. And here John states this, and immediately upon his arrival in this vision of heaven, he says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight. Now, this I began to ponder on, this rainbow, and what it could mean. Rainbow in the Word of God is a promissory note to His children. We are going to see something tonight that I pray that will open up our eyes to the pre-wrath rapture of God's people. In this time in which we are now living, there are more people than ever that are switching their theology and going away from a pre-wrath rapture to where the church goes through at least partway of the tribulation period. Well, according to God's Word, that cannot happen. We have been saved from wrath. And yes, the scene that I'm talking about upon this earth during that time is going to be a time when the first 3.5 years may not be so bad. You know, a lot of people, that's what people are resting on. It's not going to be so bad, but let me tell you something. You're just getting a taste right now of the first 3.5 years trouble that's going to happen. Right now upon this earth, you are just getting a glimpse of the trouble and the chaos that's going to completely evade and erode this nation and this world. The Bible speaks about the fact that right now there is a restraining power upon the earth. That, my friend, is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is pulled off of this scene and the church leaves with Him, that's when the beginning of trouble begins to fall upon this world. Now here the Bible says this. Now, again, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we bow in your presence this evening, Father, we come thanking you for the privilege of once again coming into thy presence. And dear God, we thank you for your blessed truth that you have revealed for us here tonight. Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that even now you would open up our eyes to what you have for us. Reveal unto us in our hearts, dear God, that which is waiting for us when we open up our lives in heaven. Father, I pray that you'll bless us tonight. Bless each and every congregant that is gathered in thy house. And Father, for those that are listening by way of radio or over the sermon audio, Father, we pray your blessings upon them this very hour. Lord, bless us tonight. May thy power rest in this building. May thy power rest in thy word. Father, bless us with amazing views tonight. Forgive us, Lord, our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Emmanuel, tonight, for the time that we have with you tonight, I want you to consider some things with me. Now, I wish for us to look, as we back up just a moment in our scriptures, and I want you to look just right around God's throne as you open up your vision, as your eyes open up upon our rapture and we are called off of this earthly scene. I want you to consider what John saw. Now, John is a representative of what we are yet to see. We are going to be blessed beyond measure. And as we look at John and we look at what he is foretelling us tonight, we're going to see exactly what he saw. You know, John, as he beheld the throne, and around the throne, he saw some spectacular things taking place. And I wish for us tonight to look at this magnificent scene. I want us tonight to think about what Ezekiel saw. We will stand in awe and of all that he has told us and what John reveals unto us and what he witnessed. We will behold the color, the splendor, and all the majesty and glory of that which lies right around the throne of God. Now, there's a reason why God wants us to see this. There's a reason why that God wants us to behold His throne. And all the splendor and glory of that glorious time in the history of eternity. I believe what God, first of all, wants us to see is just exactly what John saw. John saw something spectacular in verses 2 and 3. He says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne." You know, tonight, my friend, as we are gathered off of this earthly scene and called to heaven, one of the first things that we're going to view in our sight and in our vision is going to be the Almighty as He sits upon His heavenly throne. As He sits in majesty and all that surrounds Him is all glory. Can you just imagine the scene? I mean, in your deepest recesses of your mind, I want you to travel to heaven with me tonight, and I want you to see Almighty. I want you to see Him as He sits gloriously upon His throne. And John saw just that in the vision. John saw as He was translated out and placed there in the heavens itself. John saw a magnificent being. He saw the Almighty. He saw the I Am, the Great One. The Almighty, the Ancient of Days, as the Bible declares Him to be. And verse 3, the Bible says, "He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald." Now, I want you to look at this for just a moment. Here John states that the appearance of a rainbow was in sight. I mean, as he opened up his eyes and as he looked upon the very throne of God, upon God Himself, around the throne, he saw a rainbow. He saw a beautiful scene as that arch fell over the very Ancient of Days. And here the Bible states this, and I want you to notice what it says. The Bible states that that color was of green, like an emerald. Everything that we are looking at here now, as God, as He sits upon the throne, and as that great rainbow cast down over that throne, I want you to know that the Bible says that it was like the color of an emerald. It was like the color of prosperity. It was like the color of all that is good and all that is pleasant. It is like the color of the green pastures that the Savior leads us through in Psalm 23. Folks, I want you to know it speaks of comfort, does it not? It speaks of a place of contentment. And as John opened his eyes, the first color that he saw was of the green, the emerald green. Now for just a moment, are you looking at it? This is a standout color around the throne of Almighty. You know, I never much thought about it very, very much until I began to consider the things that it means. You know, as we are looking at, as we look at what heaven is, and we understand that heaven is a place for the redeemed. Heaven is our home that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. All of these things speak of peace and contentment. And all that it speaks of is prosperity. And as we are in the very portal of heaven, as we are looking upon the Almighty Himself, and we see the great beauty that is surrounding Him, and this is only a touch of what we are about to see. Listen, the Bible says there's a sea of glass, or like unto crystal, the Bible says. There are streets of gold, and listen, there are gates of pearl, and we're going to see the majesty of Almighty in all His glory. John saw this when he went to heaven. John saw this magnificent scene, and it spoke of wonders. This just reveals to the individual here tonight of God's Word that heaven's throne is filled with the splendor and the glory of God. With the splendor and glory of Almighty. Go with, if you will, to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is going to be one of those books that we'll see a lot of. Ezekiel and Daniel and some of the other books we'll see quite a bit of in the study of Revelation. But here in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 1, I want you to look at something with me I think is important. We'll begin at verse 24. And I want you to see something about Ezekiel and his thoughts. The same thoughts that John the Revelator saw. The Bible says in verse 24 of Ezekiel chapter 1, and this again is one of those things that we're going to be doing a lot of study over, probably in the next week's a lesson where we're talking about the wheels and all these things, and the things that God has. And listen, this is going to be an amazing study, folks. We are just getting into the very edge of what should be an amazing and wonderful study of the book of Revelation. It should hold you right on the edge of your seat, and it should hold your attention the whole time that you're under the spell of God's Word. And folks, I'll tell you, if you really love God's Word, it will mesmerize you. It will place you under a spell if you just place yourself where John was. I mean, can you just imagine? Can you imagine what Ezekiel thought? Here the Bible says in verse 24 of Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, "And when they had went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of Almighty, the voice of speech, the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings." And again, we are talking about these wonderful wheels that the wheel inside the wheel. And we'll look at all that next week. And I pray the Lord will just have our minds fixed. The Bible says in verse 25, "And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Can you just imagine what John saw? The same thing that Ezekiel is seeing here. As I look up and I see Almighty, I can just about imagine that Ezekiel's mind was going 100 miles an hour. I mean, can you imagine as Ezekiel looked up and he saw this orb, so to speak, and it was just going one way, this way, this way, this way. It was going every which way that God turned, and it was going that way. It didn't have to turn, it just went that way. I mean, Ezekiel saw some magnificent scenes. John saw some as well. Here the Bible goes on to say this in verse 28 again. As the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. Talking about the throne. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now, get a hold of that. Again, this bow represented the glory of Almighty. It represented everything that was supposed to be magnificent about the Almighty. I mean, it was splendid. Here the Bible goes on to say, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, folks, can you just imagine? You know, I can just imagine what John began to listen to as God began to speak to him, as the voice that came from the throne of God began to reveal unto him the things that we are to see yet. And he wanted him to write them in a book for us. He wanted them to write them in a book that we would have the same excited looks upon our faces as we looked and we viewed the very heavenly throne of God Himself. As we looked upon that throne, you saw the green emerald and the rainbow, and the magnificent green was the primary color of that rainbow, the Bible says. Folks, I want you to know that God and on His throne is magnificent to the child of God. To those of us who are redeemed, listen, it's not going to be a scary sight to see Almighty, is it? It's going to be a wonderful and amazing thing to see the one who bought us and paid for us with His Son's own life and blood. Listen, I'm going to be amazed that He even had grace upon me. That He showed favor to me as an individual. Listen, I want you to know that's what we are going to be looking at. We're going to be viewing those things that I think should really strike a very chord in our heart. Now, secondly, I want you to notice this, something about this rainbow. Rainbow brings about the scene a certain feel of comfort in the midst of the coming judgment. You know, that's one thing that I'm thankful for as I begin to consider this. And I begin to think about that rainbow that was over the throne of God. And who is going to be there? The saints of God are going to be there. The 24 elders we're about to look at are the representatives of the church of the living God. The saved, the redeemed of all time are going to be gathered around that throne. And we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Him face to face. And folks, I want you to know something. It's going to be a magnificent scene when we see our Savior and our God, our great King. Now, as we look at this, I want you to consider this now. The redeemed are promised something. Just like was promised in the book of Genesis in chapter 9, when the rainbow came out after the great flood. Listen, I want you to know there was a promise made that kind of destruction would never happen again. There's also been a promise made to the child of God today that we will not see the wrath of Almighty God. We will not behold the wrath of Almighty God. We will not behold the wrath even of Satan as when the Holy Spirit is pulled off the earthly scene. Listen, we are going to go with Him because He's the only thing that restrains Satan now. Think about it. It is the Holy Spirit's work right now to restrain that old devil himself, that old Lucifer, that snake in the grass, as I called him last week. Now I want you to think about this. When that snake in the grass is pulled, when that snake of the grass is allowed to do what he wants, listen, the child of God's not going to be here. You know what he would do? The very first thing, he would come after us, wouldn't he? He would come after the redeemed of the earth because He knows that He cannot take their souls, but He can make life completely miserable for them. Listen, there's going to be some of that going on with that 144,000 of the Jews that's going to be saved during the tribulation time. That's not for us Gentiles. That's for the Jewish people. That's for the Jewish nation, Israel. Listen, I want you to know there's going to be some of that persecution that Satan is going to unleash upon that Jewish nation. Those 144,000 are going to be slain in the streets for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake. But I want you to know something. God's people here, the redeemed of the earth right now, are going to be taken off of this scene. We're going to be in heaven. And the first thing that we see when we leave this place, we're going to see Almighty. We're going to see Him as He is. And not only that, we're going to see all the glory that scene is going to be portraying. That's what we see in the bowl. Now, I want you to look at something with me. Again, in Genesis in chapter 9, let's go back up for just a moment. I want to read this to you, not to get our basis in the background of where I want to go here next. But in Genesis in chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 13 with me. Genesis chapter 9, and begin reading at verse 13. Now, this is the Noahic covenant, if I can say it right. This is the covenant that God made with Noah. That's the best way to say it. Ain't no sense in getting that all theology all tongue-tied. It'll get you messed up. But anyway, the Bible says in verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. You know, the other night, maybe it was last night, we were standing, yes, it was last night, we were standing in the back by the garden, and I looked up and way out to the east there, I saw the great big rainbow. Now, it hadn't rained there at the house, but further east of us, it had a big rain, and there's a good sunshine right behind us, and there portrayed a beautiful end of a rainbow, just like here Wednesday night as we were leaving the building here. We had a great rain come through this place, and lo and behold, the sun started shining, and Jensen was able to see a rainbow that touched down just right outside here on the hillside. I mean, it was a beautiful sight. It went all the way over past the Riffet place, and it come all the way over, and the bow set right down here upon this bank out here. And we took Jensen out there, and there it was. And you know what the color was? You know what the color is when it hits the ground? It is green. Think about that. It was emerald green as it touched down on that ground right there. And it was a beautiful sight to see. It's amazing. Reminds me of the time when Sister Debbie was standing in the back. We were in a revival meeting, and Brother Gary Howe was walking up, and it had been raining, it was raining at that time, and the sun was shining behind us. And as you looked out through that parking lot, the raindrops fell. It looked like diamonds. It looked actually like diamonds falling where the sun was penetrating through that raindrop. It was amazing. I mean, it was a beautiful scene. And that's just some of the things that we're going to see when we open our eyes, when we are raptured off of this scene. The Bible says there's going to be a bow. This bow is set in heaven, in the heavens, for the earth. Now know this. There's also a bow in the very heaven itself, the place where God lives. There's a bow there. You know who it's for? It's for the redeemed. Those of us that are gathered around that throne. The Bible states that rainbow is over the throne of God, and it is there to remind us that we've been saved from wrath. Listen, folks, that right there is a promise that we need to enjoy, and we need to look at every time we open up this book. We understand that God has something in there for us. Now, as that bow is wrapped upon the throne of God, there's only one other group of people that can see it, and that is the redeemed. Those 24 elders, as they are the representatives of the redeemed of all time. Now I want you to consider that. Remember, it is the unrighteous lost which are going to receive the wrath of God, not the righteous saved. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 2, if you'll go back there with me for just a moment. Romans in chapter 2. Notice what it says here. Now, I get a little excited when I'm reading some of this stuff. I get a whole lot excited. So much so that my heart goes to quivering all over sometimes. But here the Bible says this in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. I want you to notice who the wrath of God is going to be spent on. Now, God's wrath is already, listen, we're going to see a promise in just a moment that God's saved do not have to fear His wrath. Now, here's the ones that have to fear His wrath. The unsaved, the unregenerated, those that are left behind when He takes the church home, when He takes the redeemed off this scene, the ones left behind are the ones that's got to worry. They're the ones that's going to face the very wrath of Almighty. Not only are they going to face the wrath of Almighty, but they're going to face the wrath of a devil who is on borrowed time, and he knows it. He only has so many years, 7 years. He knows he's only got 7 years to fulfill all his work, I reckon you call it. He's only got 7 years, and the first 3.5 years, he's going to play nice. But after that, it's going to be worse than anything you see today. Even when the Holy Spirit is pulled off of this scene, what we are seeing going on in this nation tonight is only a glimpse of what is about to take place. Now, folks, that's not a doom and gloom message. I'm just telling you what people have to look forward to. As I stated this morning, as I went to the radio station, I got up to Main Street, and there was a crowd of people there protesting. And folks, I want you to know something. Because I didn't blow my horn, I was looked upon by one man like he could just jump in the car and tear me apart. Now that's how their peaceful protest goes. But I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit, that restraining agent, is gone, there's nobody going to restrain that man on the other side then. Think about it. There is not going to be a restraining power to hold back sin and the devil. The Bible says here, now in Romans in chapter, notice what it says in chapter 2. Begin reading here, if you will, at verse 1, the Bible says, therefore thou art inexcusable man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Listen, today there are people that are turning their nose up at God's goodness. They're saying, I don't want nothing to do with your grace and your love. He's saying to you, you're going to be inexcusable. There'll be no excuse for you in that day when He calls His children home. Because this is what's going to happen. But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, from the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Folks, tonight, I want you to know that the God of heaven has reserved all of His wrath for the Christ rejecter. So yes, the rainbow around about the throne of God is there to remind us, the blood-bought redeemed, how that we've been saved from the wrath to come. You know, I believe in Romans 5 and 9, we're right here close. The Bible says this, now listen to this, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Over in the book of Ephesians, if you'll go there for real quick, and Ephesians in chapter 2, and then we'll move on. Ephesians in chapter 2. Notice what it says here in verse 11. Wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. Ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, and so making peace, and that He might reconcile both God in one body, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which are nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now I want you to consider that. So the rainbow represents God's covenant faithfulness, His mercy, and His grace to the redeemed even now. Notice what God says about the faithful remnant. You know, there in Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 17, there was a question about being swept away in the judgment of God. But God assured the faithful remnant that that will not happen. You see, there's a reason why that I believe, according to God's Word, that the saved are redeemed before the rapture of God. Now listen, I want you to know, the saved are raptured, is what I meant to say, before the wrath of Almighty God falls. Now, as we get ready to move on, I want you to think of this with me. Again, the rainbow about the throne of God symbolizes a balance of God's fiery flashings of judgment coming forth from the throne. And we'll see that next week even. The promise to us is the redeemed is being saved from that wrath. Now we are saved from the wrath to come. We are saved from the wrath. We're promised that. And I believe that's what that rainbow represents there in heaven over the throne. Because the ones that see it are the redeemed. He's saying here, looky here. This is my promise to you. I've saved you from the wrath that's getting ready to be poured out upon the earth. I pulled you up off of that scene before I let the restraint go. Now, thirdly, John sees these 24 thrones and elders sitting. As we look in Revelation 4 and 4, the 24 elders are the human representatives of the redeemed. And the Bible gives good evidence for that. Now, there are those that say that they believe that those 24 elders may be some angels. You know, but God never did. Nowhere in anything of God's Word do you see any evidence that the angels have any rule or any say-so over God's people. God has given that to man. To the redeemed. As a matter of fact, we see it all through the Scriptures where the Bible says we're going to be sitting up on thrones. We're going to be judging. We're going to be doing all those things. You know what that is? That's co-power with Jesus Christ. He didn't give that to the angels. He gave it to His children. He says unto them. Now, let's look at a couple of Scriptures here before I come to a close. I know we're getting a little bit late, but I want you to look at this now with me. As we look at this, and I want you to consider this. Listen, first of all, the reference to the 24 thrones on which the 24 elders sat indicates what God's Word says, that they will reign with Christ. Again, We're talking about the 24 elders, and that is a representation of the redeemed. And the Bible says we shall sit and reign with Christ. That's not the angel's job. Again, nowhere in God's holy word do we see the angels or any other being holding that kind of honor. Listen, the angels are given the title of ministering spirits. We saw that once before, if I ain't mistaken, in our Hebrew study. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and also in chapter 18 of the book of Matthew, you see that the angels are ministering spirits. To who? To God's people. And to those who will be God's people. Think about it. Take time to read Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 again and refresh your memory. And also in Matthew chapter 18 where it talks about the little ones, how the angels, listen, these little children like Jensen here and these other little children in this house, they have angels watching over them. Guess what? We all have angels watching over us. We have ministering angels. And they are there for God's bidding upon us. The church, listen, the church, on the other hand, are said to be and are promised to be having co-power with Christ. Listen, we're here close in Revelation chapter 2, and I know I have to come to a close here, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, so be ready to write these down. And you'll see where God's people, the 24 elders, and the reason why they are there with crowns upon their heads, and they are there with thrones. Now think about this. The Bible says this now in Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now, right on over in chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Again, we see in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, here the scripture says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, all of these scriptures point to the fact that we're talking about the redeemed. Amen? We're talking about the saved of the earth. These four and 24 elders, listen, are representatives of the redeemed of the earth. Now, what are they going to be doing? John said as he looked, he saw those 24 elders. And folks, I want you to know something. We're not talking about two different entities here. We're talking about one group of 24. We're talking about one group of individuals. And they are the representatives of the human race, the saved, the redeemed. And the Bible says they're going to, as John looked, he saw them. They were sitting upon thrones. And they all had what? They all had golden crowns. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. John saw some amazing things. Ezekiel saw some amazing things. And we'll look at all these things here in the very near future. But understand that. They have crowns and they live in the place prepared for them where they have gone to be with the Lord because of their great salvation. And the salvation from wrath as well. Now, again, as I looked and I saw, as I sat here and I studied this in the last few weeks, and I began to wonder and ponder about that beautiful rainbow over the throne of God. What was it there for? It was there, as we are there, it reminds us of what we've been saved from. Think about it. We've been promised some promises, haven't we? We've been promised life eternal. That rainbow reminds us we've been given new life. We've been promised forgiveness of all of our sins and promised that we'll not be condemned no more. And that rainbow proves that came true. That rainbow still stands in the sky, folks, for a reason. And it still stands true, does it not? There's never been another great flood of destruction like we saw there in the book of Genesis. Now I want you to consider this as I come to a close. Did not John come upon an amazing scene? As John opened his eyes and he says, and immediately he's before the throne and God himself. And over top of that throne was a great rainbow. A promise made, a promise kept. Listen, I want you to know something today. That's what we have to look forward to. When we are taken off of this scene, the first thing we're going to be reminded of when we see God, is we're going to be reminded, I told you. It's just like that message I preached for Brother Cade's funeral. It's real. It's real, folks! And I can just imagine as those old saints that go off into eternity even now. Listen, they're telling you, it's real. He's real. He's really, it's a real thing, folks. That's what he's saying to us. That's what the rainbow says. It's real. Everything that I promised, it's here. Everything I promised you, it's done. Oh, may God help us to see that. May God help us to rejoice in our great salvation because He's given us little nuggets through His Word to open up our minds and to cause us to rejoice even more. Rejoice evermore. Let's all stand, please. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Allow me to say this to you for just a moment. Listen, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're about to miss. I'm trying to show you there's great things for the person who trusts the Lord as their Savior. But for those who are caught unawares, for that time when the shepherd comes and takes his sheep away, listen, I want you to know something. If you're left behind, outside of the sheepfold, you're not going to get in. You're not going to find the peace and contentment that we have saw tonight, the rest and enjoyment of salvation. I plead with you even now. Trust the Lord tonight. Listen, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood for anyone who would come unto Him. Let me say it like that. Are you one of those that might come unto Him? Are you one of those who will come unto Him? Listen, come today. Do not delay. Listen, who knows when the time on your clock runs out? As we spoke this morning, there's a point in time for every individual. Who knows when that's going to be for you? But listen, I'll say this. I know time is getting awful close because of all the things that's going on in this world today. Who knows but what the Lord doesn't call us home tonight. What if the redeemed were called home this very moment? Would you be ready? I ask you, would you be that one who is called away and you're sitting in there and you're seeing the glory of Almighty in the bowl that shines above His throne? Or will you be left behind? To face the wrath of Almighty God. To face the chaos of a world that's filled with Satan and his demons. I pray God will open your eyes. You might see your need even now to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we bow on your throne, we thank you, dear God. As we have been given another portion of thy word this evening to enjoy and ponder. And Father, as we have seen the rainbow above your throne, I believe it points to us a promise made, a promise kept. Father, I pray that you will bless your people. Help us, dear God, to rejoice in the great salvation that you afforded us. Help those around us, dear God, that are lost now to see their need. And Lord, and I pray, dear God, compel them. Lord, by your Holy Spirit power, draw them unto thyself tonight. Lord, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.